Steam and sulfurous gas spew from the boiling lava lake contained in the Halemaumau crater that sits like a festering stew pot inside the caldera of Kilauea volcano on the Big Island of Hawaii. Emissions can be so sulfurous that air quality alerts are issued daily. The general public is kept at a distance, and sections of the park can be closed at a moment's notice. If the winds are favorable, visitors in Hawaii Volcanoes National Park are able to view the spectacle from about a mile away at the observation deck outside Jaeger Museum. During the day, the steam and gas spiral upward, forming a loose cloud pillar that seems rather ordinary. However, as the sun goes down and darkness sets in, the glow from the hot, fiery lava that roils below the rim of the crater permeates and lights the mist. The night is still, and the sight is mesmerizing. Images of the cloud and fiery pillars that Moses and the Israelites saw during their journey in the wilderness easily come to mind. Yet a smoldering lava lake must pale in comparison to the holy presence that so terrified the people at Mount Sinai they would not come near the mountain. The book of Exodus relates, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled. The people recoiled in fear and, quote, remained at a distance while only Moses approached the thick darkness where God was, end quote. Thick darkness. Where God was? For we Christians, often the image of darkness is related to sin and death, to evil and immoral behavior, to the opposite of what God truly is. And if darkness is evil, impurity, or death, then as 1 John 1:5 notes, God is light. And in God is no darkness at all. Yet here we have a scripture reference to God in the darkness. There are others as well. When Moses dedicated the tabernacle, which we heard about this morning, and when Solomon dedicated the temple, the holy presence of the Lord descended. When King Solomon saw it, he said, "The Lord said he would dwell in a dark cloud." And one of the psalmists must have had a similar experience, for he wrote, "The Lord made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, thick, dark clouds with water." Darkness. In these instances, darkness represents the profound, impenetrable God. God, whose mysteries are too great for any human to see or comprehend. This imagery is not limited to the Old Testament, for the writer of the book of Hebrews shared an understanding of this kind of impenetrable darkness when he wrote, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And yet, it can be in that holy darkness, when all else has been stripped away, that God can be experienced like never before. Blinded by the light of a vision of Jesus, the risen Christ, Saul was plunged into the deepest darkness of his life. Saul was jealous after the God of his ancestors. He studied, he applied himself, he knew the law and the prophets, and took seriously the keeping of the statutes of the Lord as they had been interpreted by the religious leaders of his time. Keeping outside influences from polluting or diluting the true faith was paramount for keeping the covenant. For it was the breaking of the covenant that led to the loss of the land and the temple in the past. Any laxity in observance could result in the same fate for another generation. Vigilance to the orthodox ways was the only insurance the people had that banishment would not happen again. The law was there to keep them on the straight and narrow, no divergence to the right or to the left. Anything that gave a hint, even the slightest whiff of off-center, had to be dealt with swiftly and harshly. Purity of practice was absolute. Saul's worldview was solidly in place. He was certain his view was God's view. He pursued his perspective passionately. And then he met Jesus in a bolt out of the blue. Every view he had was shut down completely. He could not see. There was no independence, no self-direction, only the disorientation of darkness. Saul fell into the hands of the living, impenetrable, dark, mysterious God, even as he was being led by the hand of others. For 3 days, Saul remained in that darkness, not eating or drinking. The parallel of Jesus' 3 days in the tomb virtually screams off the page. Saul never wrote about what he experienced over those days, not in any one of his letters. Yet God's words to Ananias leave a trace of foreboding that would indicate the encounter was deep into the mysteries of God. As educated as Saul was, there must have been some incredible revealing of scriptures in a crash course that completely rewrote Saul's understanding of everything he thought he knew about Torah, God's law. What Saul encountered was a God who was more than the law and beyond human reason. Saul encountered the God of judgment. And the God of grace. Martin Luther, in commenting on the book of Galatians, wrote, "Accordingly, When your conscience is terrified by the law and you are wrestling with God, the judge, do not consult your reason or the law, but take your stand alone on the grace of God and God's word of consolation. Cling to this and act as if you had never heard a word of the law. Enter into that darkness, the darkness we saw in Exodus 20 and 21, where neither the law nor human reason gives its light, but only the dark word of faith. The believer relies with a certainty on being saved in Christ without the law and regardless of it. Thus, the gospel without and regardless of the light of the law and reason leads us into the darkness of faith where law and reason exercise no authority. That is to say, Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight. Our worldview is shaped by the cloud of our baptism, which hides us in Christ. And at the foot of the cross, the light of the law has no place, for the sin that the law points out is conquered there. It no longer has hold over us. This is what Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, came to understand. At the foot of the cross, there is nothing left but to enter the holy darkness of God's very presence and hold on to that dark word of faith. For it is in that deep mystery that is the very presence of the living God we receive by grace a promise of new life. This is sure and true. Jesus died and rose again to make it so. We can trust our Lord to lead and guide us through that other kind of darkness when we put our hand in His, and to guide and lead us into the light where He lets us go to grow and thrive and live. Amen and amen.